Okay. This is an interview with Mrs. Bernice Landman on March 19th, 1997. Okay. What would you like to tell me about yourself?
I started out in girls' schools when I was 18 years old. At that time, we didn't need the 2 years of training. And then we had to, within 5 years, get a degree or keep going until we did get a degree. So I got my degree from Kentucky Wesleyan and a master's from Indiana University. Now then, my first schools were one-room schools. Am I talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
Were one-room schools. The first one was at the Nardi School out at Branchville, and my father took me out there in the old Ford. We went up the branch and up the hill, and my first view of a school, I had 18 pupils in all 8 grades. I stayed across to the road with Mr. and Mrs. Lynch, so I'd go home and come home on the weekend. And our pay, we'd get paid when the trustee could get around to it. I made $100 a month, and of course I had to pay rent. But when I went into that schoolroom, there was a potbelly stove, and of course a double desk, not single desk at the time. And they had a bucket there, and I wondered what in the world that bucket was for, and there was one single dipper. Well, I made up my mind just then. That was the first thing we would change. We'd get one of these earthen jars and had a spigot to it, and they'd have to bring their own cup. That was in a kind of a hallway. They would come in, they'd put their buckets down and their clothes, and that's kind of a drink they had. And they had to carry the water from down under the hill. As I said, I stayed with Lynch's across the road, but the water they had to get was down in the hill, and they'd bring it up with a pail and fill that up. So we'd have to fill it up. And
you fill it up every morning?
Yes, every morning. So you know we didn't have ice water like that.
All right.
So they have a recitation bench, and you'd say pass, and they'd come up. I believe in one-room schools, they learned a lot by listening to others as well. They had no trouble with discipline in those days.
Is that right?
Not at all. They were just so happy to more or less do things for you. They'd like to clean the erasers. At the end of the day, you'd almost have to assign time. They had an oiled floor the weekend. Now, I had someone come, and they provided someone to clean for me. And that's what I'd get over the weekend, they'd clean. But we didn't have a playground equipment like we have today, so we played all kind of games. Now, remember, I was going on 19, but I was still 18. And I'd play with them, and we'd jump the rope and hide and seek and chase the fox and the goose. Fox would chase the goose,
mm-hmm.
And I'd play with them, and they'd play hopscotch, and I could play hopscotch along with them just as well as...
So you were very involved with them.
Get involved with the children. They Now then, we did have activities. I played the violin at that time, and we'd have Christmas programs, we had programs, and we'd put up make one corner for their little recitations to come out and so forth. And I'd play and they'd sing. I'd play the violin, they'd sing along with the violin. When we'd have pie suppers, we'd have a fish pond. And they'd have that same curtain go up in the corner, and then we'd have things for them to, they'd have to pay to fish.
Uh-huh.
And we'd put a little, in their cup was on the end, and they'd see what they had. Sometime they were around 5 or 10 cents. At that time, I remember this was back in 1930s.
Right. Gosh.
1930 and 31. So then we, I was scared to death when the county superintendent that
time. I was going to say, what kind of administration did you have back then?
The county superintendent come several times a year, and the first time he came, I told him later, he was Mr. Everard. I told him one time, he just scared me to death. I didn't tell him that. So he would come, and the children were almost as scared as he, but they recited very well, and I made pretty good grades. They gave success grades at that time. You were graded.
Oh, really?
So it was...
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
So you see, they had pie suppers, and the funny thing about that, if they knew that you had someone and I did have a friend who was sure that he'd get my pie. He was also from Rome, Harold Rickard, and he taught over in another school in Ohio Township. I think it was Burr, I don't know, but nevertheless, he was sure he'd get. So I had taken out from home things from my box. They decorated them and they bid on them, you know.
Uh-huh.
And several would go together to outbid to get the girl's teacher's box. And they so happened that he didn't let them have it. He had to really pay for it. I don't remember now why.
And why did you choose teaching as your career?
I beg your pardon?
Why did you choose teaching as your career?
My mother was a teacher. My aunt was a teacher. And I came, and my father had been a college graduate in electrical work.
Oh, so you came from a well-educated family.
Yes. And my sister was a teacher, and my youngest sister, who passed away, was a secretary, but she didn't care for teaching.
Mm-hmm. What was your classroom arrangement like?
We had, as I said, a potbelly stove, and the light came in like it should on the left-hand side as the children faced.
Uh-huh.
I mean, most of the light. But we did it at night. We had to have lanterns. We didn't have any other light except lanterns when we'd have these festivities.
I see. And was your desk at the front and, like, the children in rows in front of you?
In front of me, double desk, because I said two in a seat.
Right.
And they would stand, and they wouldn't just rush you when you say first grade. They'd come and read them nicely and sit down. And then when they were through, they'd just jump and run. They went back to their desk.
Yeah. What would your normal day consist of? Like, what time were they expected to be at school by, and what subjects?
8:30.
8:30?
Mm-hmm.
And what would you teach them?
At that time, we could have prayer. We could have fetch the flag. We always had George Washington, who's one of the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Those were three things that you noted when you came in would be the picture. Chalk wall on the left and the light, I mean on my left, and then on my right, which was the children's left, were the windows. The others had windows on the other side, back and on the side of the blackboard.
I see. Okay.
And there was also a blackboard in the back, like this school. Now, would you like to hear about the other school?
Yeah, in that school, did you teach, like, math and reading?
Well, we taught reading, writing, arithmetic, and geography.
Okay.
Spelling.
And spelling. And, like, did they get, like, a couple recesses a day?
All right, they had 15-minute recess and an hour at noon.
And an hour at noon. And they brought their lunch, right?
Yes, they brought their lunch. And, of course, I took mine even though I was across the road. I took lunch so that I would be there at all times.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
I want to tell you one thing. In all my 34 years teaching, I had very few times that any child was there before I was.
Is that right? What time would you get there in the morning?
Well, as I told you, I lived across the road, and I'd get there about 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to prepare yourself a lot for the next day? Did you spend a lot of time after school?
I always left in case someone had to come in, where things were, how to find what lesson was to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
And with the exception of when I taught at Rome, of course, these were also closed schools, I would leave for them to follow, and most of them did follow.
Mm-hmm.
But in Rome one time, I'm just going to inject this, if you want to believe it, Tab, but you're
sure.
Right.
I mean,
Ella Zellers was teaching. And she never followed the direction that you ever had. She let the children in, more or less. They weren't rowdy or anything, but she wouldn't follow that. And one little boy told her that that he and his dad went bear hunting in Africa, and I all knew better than that. And so she told me. Oh, she told me that. She said, "Do they have bears?" I said, "No, he was just spoofing you. Joe was just spoofing you." That thing. Now then,
she.
Now the second school was a little bit different.
Uh-huh. And where
it was in Tobin Township, out at Bear Creek. That's out. You would go out from Rome. You'd go out over the hill, and there were muddy roads at that time, mud.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked 3 miles to school. Now, I started at 9 o'clock then.
Gosh.
And I would get home just at dark.
Is that right? That's a long way.
And cold weather and mud, I rode a horse 2 times. And then I had to leave it at George Pettit's. I stayed 11 nights at George and Mary's, which was about a mile from the school. And I went up through the field to the rest of the way. Anyway, it was about a mile from Mary and George's. I had to crawl under a fence to get through. And I'd heard, this is one of the things that happened there. I heard that two of the boys had robbed the Hardin store in Rome, and that the sheriff was going to pick them up. They had told me that they knew they went to school out there. So we were having recess, and I heard the dogs barking, so I knew the blood was coming. And why did we have to come in? You rang. I had a handbell. Well, I said I thought it was time, and then of course when they knocked, well, they got the boys right there, took them away.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was one escapade that don't usually have.
That
however,
to jail?
In this case, though not that one, but Bob Boyles and several of them, the champion children. They'd bring a gun and put it in the corner to get a squirrel or something going home. And now then, think of children with a
gosh.
Gun.
Oh, no, they would never allow that. But that was
Remember,
right?
This is back, now this is 34.
Right.
That many years ago. Well, we had one of the first lunch programs. We still had a nice cooler, just like we had before.
Mm-hmm.
And we had pump. So they were able to
get some water.
I'd get some water. So,
how many children?
I had 8, 9 pupils after these 2 left.
Oh.
Still, Mr. Everard was coming around to visit as superintendent. We had our first, I started the lunch program. I'd bring a piece of meat, take it from home. Some on the weekend, but of course I walked 3 miles a day with the exception of about 14 or 15 days.
Gosh, yes.
And the children would bring vegetables, and we'd have vegetable soup, and they'd bring their bowls. And now, they had single desks there, and Bob Boyle was my janitor.
And you made the soup? You would make the soup there?
Yes, I made it on this potbelly stove on the top of it.
So it'd boil all day or whatever, and then you'd serve it at lunchtime.
Yes.
Isn't that, and you started that program.
Yes. And I said, it'll be in the book as I talk to you
right.
about. It talks about the lunch program.
Oh,
as you read what I had written, you'll find that out.
Uh-huh.
I'm intending to sell your book.
Well, you're going to. You're going to. I really find this interesting. I mean, there's so much
and
that...
Now, discipline was no trouble there. The only thing is Lyola Mitchell was a little first grader, and she was kind of shy. And you'd send her to the board, and she'd give her head down. I said, Lyola, we have to make our figures and learn to add. As she'd say, she was a sweet little thing, but it was just getting her to do things. I never spanked or hit a child.
What forms of discipline would you use if needed?
Mostly, even in Gus Bigdon and me, when I taught there.
Uh-huh.
I just stand and look at them and talk real low. Or if they were getting too noisy, I'd just stand and hold my hands. Now, when you quiet down, we'll go on with our work.
Mm-hmm. And that seemed to work then.
Yes. And I'll tell you, I remember one time, one of the boys, after I quit, I subbed for 5 years because of insurance. He was always in something, and that's what I do. In a disciplinary way. And on the playground, the discipline came. If they got into it, I'd stand them up against the wall and tell them to talk this thing over now. If they didn't want this later when we had Prince or something like that, I'd say, that's all right. We'll have to maybe stay in a recess. We just stay in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what, if you can't make up. And I always got their attention by just standing. And this little boy, Newman, I usually wouldn't teach sub of over the third grade or fourth grade. And at Newman, because I knew the children, I'd rather have done that.
Right.
So I wanted to stay in the lower grades because I didn't have a license that I could take in junior high. In fact, I did it in Evansville when I taught out at Harwood School on First Avenue. Harwood School.
Oh, okay.
It's now a middle school.
Oh, okay.
But they had all, and I taught eighth grade there, English.
Uh-huh. So do you see a big difference between children then and now?
I do. Most of it comes, now I'm going to say, the fact that, it may begin at the home. I don't want to put my finger on anything, but I wouldn't be able to teach under the circumstances that we have now if I didn't know the children. In fact, they are asking for teachers to sub in these schools.
Right.
They're minus. Well, of course, I'm too old at that now. But, and then another, you just can't lay a hand on children, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did anyway, but I knew my children.
I wouldn't sub
unless I knew them.
Do you feel that if it's necessary, you should?
Yes, I should. I really feel that they made a mistake by the suing for even more or less bawling out a child. And a mother or a father is more or less held back from discipline as they should. And I think a lot of the discipline problems come from that place, from the home.
I I agree. I see a big difference in children. That's one of the reasons why I want to go into teaching, because right now I work at the child support office, which is in social services, and I see a lot of the children come in and they're so deprived. And, you know, I grew up with a mother that was there to meet me after school and sit down and make me do my homework.
Yes.
And support me and pay attention, want to see my grades for the day. And these kids come home and they don't have anybody saying, I want you to do your homework, let me see your grades for the day, I'm proud of you.
I think that's one thing. Another thing, today so many are one parent, or they may be a babysitter, because the parents have to work to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes a difference.
I think so, too. Yeah, I know my husband grew up very differently than I did. My dad always worked, and my mom stayed home with all of us children. And we always had her there to greet us when we got off the bus and have a snack made for us. And supper was always prepared at 6 o'clock. And when my husband, his mom worked 50 hours a week, he was responsible for taking care of himself and doing his homework. And he ended up doing well, but there's disadvantages and advantages to that. One is he's a lot more independent than I am. I'm a little, you know, a little more reserved, and he's more
outgoing.
Sort of. I'm outgoing, but I like to have somebody there with me all the time, and he's a lot different. So I think it's disadvantage and advantages.
Well, when I was teaching, we'd have Parents' Day, and they had Parents' Day then. We'd have visitation from the parents, and we always had a big time on the last day of school.
Mm-hmm.
They'd bring the big have a pitch-in dinner,
mm-hmm.
and the children would have a program at these one-room schools. I just had two of those now. I went then into Rome,
mm-hmm.
taught 5 years there, and I still want to know what the boy said. I went, the music teacher had to leave the room, so I had to go up to the eighth grade room,
mm-hmm.
because she had a study hall. But when I went up the step there in May, I heard the elephant's commotion that we ever heard. And I saw these handmade airplanes going and the racers going. And I just got to the door and I just stood there. Didn't say a word. And this one boy says, "Boys, I had her in the third grade. Just well, sit down, good work."
Is that right? Well, that's good though, I think, don't you?
Yes.
They knew what was expected of them, didn't they? That's wonderful.
Yeah.
How did you, like nowadays, we have so many different kinds of learners, and that's what I personally think is going to be hard to do. How did you deal with that?
Well, sir, I signed just a little different. I didn't let them know, but I more or less would say, now, there's some of you that could that know and get through so a lot quicker. Maybe you'd like to do something else for a little extra, or just not. I didn't give a star or anything like that.
Right.
And I judged people by their ability. You soon find out that some could do more than others, and you'll expect them to do more than others. And if you make your assignment that they can go so far, and now if you don't feel like you can get the rest of this, well, just get what you can now. I'm going to assign you, I usually, a smaller assignment. And we had different reading groups.
Mm-hmm. Like they do nowadays sometimes. I remember having that middle, high, and low.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as we went on, well, one group went one place, one the other, with a teacher and everything. But I didn't teach that way at Newman May then.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we had a principal. Mr. Furch was the first one, Mr. Cook and I were the next.
Mm-hmm. Did your children respond mostly to hands-on and getting them involved. You, like you said, you like to get the children involved,
uh-huh.
and you like to be involved with them. Was that in the classroom, too?
Yes.
Very much so, huh?
Yes. In other words, I never denied a child help even in the classroom.
They always felt comfortable coming to you.
To me. Mm-hmm. And if they would like to stay after school, now this one, Larry. This is not the country school, not the one-room school. I'd stay after school and help them. And after I quit teaching, I helped several in their work here at home.
Very dedicated to your job. That's what we need, is, I think.
Well, I had no children, so Laura and I set up a scholarship. And each of the three high schools had I had hoped to make it 1,000, but it was a 500 for each school.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't been able just myself to do that, but that was our intention to begin with, and
right.
It still continues.
Is that right? That's wonderful to give that to kids.
Now then, when I was at Harwood School in Evansville, as I told you, I was the 8th grade sponsor and also their, what do we call them? I guess you would say In Evansville, I was sponsored the 8th grade and also had their English, and I was a librarian. I had a license for school librarian. And that was one thing that the city schools, which have closed, or if they haven't closed, they had libraries. And this one-room school, which I taught in, at Bear Creek, they had a fund in which we had our first library. That was the first time that we had books that we could go to.
And I heard that you helped out with the Candleton Library here quite a bit.
Oh, yes. And after I retired, 15 years, I took two courses and got my license for librarian. I credit a librarian.
How long have you been retired for?
Since 93, December the 31st. I never got to come to the new library. We were underneath the mm-hmm. gym.
Wow.
And I missed it, but it was just time to quit.
Mm-hmm.
93, I'm 85. You know, I'm getting up there, therefore I just not exactly, well, I still knew what I was doing, but
it just took you a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. I do a lot of volunteering work.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard, kept yourself active. Have any of your students came back to thank you? Have any of your students came back to thank you?
Yes, they've come back, and they always, as I said, many of them have come to me and had you in school. And I've had several mothers say you were one of the best teachers.
It's a good thing to hear,
but,
isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it makes you feel good. And all these people that have come up to me and say, I'll narrow it down. And sometimes I get where it is. I have some policemen, some doctors, and various ones who have gone to school to me. And they always have, so of course, some of them I know because they've kept in the public. But others, I'd say, well, now, yes, I had you there. Now, I'm going to tell you, I can't give you your name, but you've changed a lot more than I have. You recognize me.
Mm-hmm.
But you little folks that I had in the third grade have grown up to a certain extent.
Right. Do you have any regrets about choosing teaching?
About not choosing?
About teaching, do you have any regrets that you chose teaching?
No, I do not.
See,
I enjoyed every minute of it. One thing I quit in Evansville. I don't believe, now this is just my own belief, in shoe unions. I would not carry a banner of not teaching. I think, of course, now they just very seldom, they go without a contract for a while. But there was a while there that they were almost like these factories and so forth.
Going on strikes and everything. What made you like teaching so much?
I've always liked people. Even as a kid, I just liked to be around people. But now, when I was in school, it was quite different because I know when I was in the sixth grade, we had to tell what we'd like to be when we grew up. That was just about like everything. I said, I'd like to be a teacher. Now, every one of those kids laughed, and even the teacher. I don't think they thought that I was kind of backward and all.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I grew out of that all right.
I'd say so. I've heard a lot of compliments on you the past few days. Let's see here. I think that I will like teaching so much because I think it's such a rewarding thing to see your students
See them progress.
Right. And know that you were a part of that.
Yes. And that I had a part of it. Maybe just 1 year, maybe 2 years. Mm-hmm. But usually they passed on to another grade.
Yeah. Do you remember your very first day of teaching?
Yes. I had it planned. You know, we had practice teaching in school. Mm-hmm. I went to Central Normal, and we had practice teaching, and I taught math as my subject. And I was more or less prepared for that first day, but to go to a country school, which I was going, I just wondered, I had not been to a one-room school.
What'd you wear?
Well, we had suits. We were still wearing sweaters and skirts and jumpers. We didn't have to, I always had nice clothes. They weren't expensive, but Mother was a good seamstress. And she even made her coat. I had my first fur collared coat she had made.
Is that right?
And we had suits. I sewed. I was in younger days. I made a suit, like a skirt and then an over suit.
Mm-hmm.
I have several pictures of dresses which I had made.
Really?
I mean, pictures.
Made. Yeah, that's great. I know a long time ago the skirts had to be long, and did they?
Never wore at that time. They weren't long, but they weren't mini skirts either.
Right.
And we didn't wear jeans and so forth. Now listen, some of the teachers today don't dress very nicely.
Most of them I see wear jeans or sweatsuits, and I wondered about that.
Well, that's the change. In other words, everything nailed down, according to Meade, has changed, and even the nails are pulling out.
Yep.
So we have to change with the time.
Right.
Now, I wouldn't dare go into the school as some of them have gone. But now, if that's what they do. But do you think I think that you'd be a little different than the pupils. I think that you could more or less, and some of them want to be called by their first name. But at that time, I like to say, in other words, the ones that have gone to school to me had still say, Miss Bernice. And when they write to me or anything, some of them still write to me with I'm Secretary Treasurer of the Room Cemetery Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob Boyle, the one that always took care of my floors and so forth. He said, Miss Bernice, they own a Boyle, but she was the Navy actress. She always addressed Miss Branch. Mm-hmm. And Frances May Shank always says that when she sends something.
That's one of the big questions now is, do you consider teaching a profession?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. I do too, but they're saying, you know, I want to be personal with my students. I want to know my students. But I do think that they need to have respect for me as their teacher. And I do want to be called, you know, Mrs. Fest. And I think that if you dress down too much, then you're putting yourself
up. After I was married, these I'm talking about, Miss, went to me in these rural schools.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? Okay, now did you end up getting a 4-year bachelor degree?
Yes.
And then a master's on top of it?
Uh-huh.
And did you major in math or something?
I majored in education.
Uh-huh.
And library science.
Library science, okay. As a teacher, what factors limited your success in teaching?
Being kind, telling, that I had chose the success.
And was it hard to not always be able to teach them everything that you wanted to because of the lack of supplies or money or, you know, different things? Was that hard sometimes for you because there wasn't the money that is in the systems now to teach children? Or did you not consider that a problem?
I didn't consider money a problem.
Mm-hmm.
When I left Evansville and came back to Till City, I took a $2,000 job. Of course, Till City now is paying way above what I received
then. Right.
$800 was the least that I ever paid.
Mm-hmm. A month. How were you treated as a teacher by students and society and their parents?
Well, I've really been respected by by most all people.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as I meet them now, I still like people. I still like to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
I taught Sunday school classes. And when I was in Kentucky Wesleyan, I had two courses in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. And I just loved to, and the older people just loved.
Right. Going back to this, do you consider teaching a profession? Tell me how come you do.
Because that's the way I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that you're a professional if you are helping someone in a way that they are bettering themselves for, say, making a living or even just not money-wise, but I tried to live as Christian-like as you would mm-hmm. say.
I consider a lot of people with their jobs professionals. I do. You know, like my dad, he's a painter, and I consider him a professional.
Well, sure they are mm-hmm. when they become a good...
But a lot of these sayings in our book are saying, well, you're not a professional. A professional is a doctor or a lawyer, someone that's had 6 to 8 years of schooling, someone that, you know, has...
Well, now, listen, 6 to 8, you'll get your AB or BA from Evansville.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll go on and get your master's, probably right there, which would be just as good. But I had a Delta Kappa Gamma scholarship of just $500, but that wouldn't go very far today.
Mm-hmm.
But I took advantage of that
mm-hmm.
and went to Indiana University. I drove up there. And from here, I was living at this house.
And
I was in 62. I got my master's
degree. Is that right? How long did that take you to do?
Well, you see, I took some. They were giving it several courses in Indiana University. You'd come to Tel City High School and give them there at night.
Mm-hmm. I see.
A lot of my degree was we drove from Tel City, Mildred Glenn, and Thoris and myself. I did the driving. And after a day's work, we drove to Kentucky Wesleyan for our classes.
Is that right? Yeah.
And Indiana University, you were getting the master's degree. Mm-hmm. I spent 1 year on campus.
Oh, did you?
I lived at the quad.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And
come home at the weekend.
Don't you find... We are now going to take a short break and be back in a few minutes.
Today they'd be this now on that thing. Biloxi. So I went down there and I took all the courses, and we were then sent to Gulfport. The Gulfport was the building. And there we had a little house on the, but we had night work. I taught aircraft estimates, and he was in the administrative part. And I had to go through all the courses to teach aircraft instruments. And I was one or two ladies who were there. Now, teaching those instruments was the correct reading on the ground. And then we had to take courses in which you'd recognize planes in flight. We had to study like everything.
I bet.
But I had a credit for 2 years teaching in
Walk-on
civil service.
Wow, that helps out, didn't it? How did you meet your husband?
Well, now that's another thing. We were back at school in 1935. I was going back for some of my 5 years, you see. And he was up there to get math. We're both from this county. He was from Bristol, and I was from home. But I thought he was already tied up to a lady that she's still living, but she's living in Florida. But I just thought that was it. Well, nevertheless, I just didn't pay much attention to it. We used to have teacher meetings where the teachers would get together for meetings. They didn't even. From all over. Okay.
I see.
Well, nevertheless, we were both up at Central Normal, college at Danville. And I wanted to go, we went over to, just kind of go to, we didn't have really a date, but nevertheless, we went to, I think it was a Blocks or something. He wanted to get something, I was going to buy something too. We really weren't sweethearts or anything like that, but, kind of looking at one another. Mm-hmm. Well, the clerk said, well, what would your wife like? What would your wife like? And we didn't say. We laughed over that after that.
Oh, gosh. So you just...
And that was in 1935. And that Christmas, he gave me a ring.
Oh, my gosh. So much of a shorter time than what it takes now almost, huh?
Well,
so was he always in administration?
Huh?
Was your husband always in administration almost?
Yes, principal.
Principal.
He was principal at Round Grove, at Chalmers, Buffalo.
Gosh.
principal and superintendent here in the county.
Mm-hmm.
Superintendent at Chandler, yes, for a term.
Huh.
And then he was sent, and then went to, had his home here. But when we were at Chandler, he stayed at Mrs. Bigner's from the old dam up on the hill line. Rising Sun, the Patriot. We lived the Patriot. I took a little school out. They had a principal out there. And this one boy, just ran every teacher, boy, woman or man, they just wouldn't stay. They just couldn't put up with it. But they started in on me, and about the second week I was out there, I told him to come up here and let's talk this out and something. He says, "You son of a bitch." And I let go of my hand right here. This is the only time.
This was a boy, a young boy?
Yes. About as tall as a young boy. He was in the seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
And he was about this much taller. And I had to look at him. I let go of my hand there and held where it hit. And I walked to the door, and I said, "Now you go back there and sit down and behave." And I had everyone aghast. I walked to the door, called the principal. I said, "I guess I'll be leaving." He said, "Why?" Well, I said, "I've just stopped a boy, and he's back there knowing that he's been disciplined." He says, "You want to do it."
Is that right? And did it work?
Yes. Yes, I can't say he did very much in his, but he did work some.
Yeah.
But he thought he could do it. He thought he could bully them.
Yeah, until you showed him that.
Now then, they'd bring a gun and shoot you.
I know.
Because that's happened. But it doesn't even have to be a teacher. But they can come in and go to shooting over in England. Was it for the kindergarten? They just mowed them down?
Yep. I know. Times have changed, haven't they?
Have I answered to a certain extent?
Now, yeah.
I'm not curtailed in any of my time. I can stay with you just as long as you want.
Sure. Let me look over this a bit. When you got your paycheck back then, did it cover all of your expenses?
Yes, at that time.
So it went as far as you needed it to?
I bought a car.
Mm-hmm.
I bought Plymouth.
Mm-hmm.
Up here at Carrollton. There on the corner of Washington and 7th Street.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
I bought a car from there.
When?
And paid less than, I think it was $920.
Left. Gosh. What year did you see the salary really jump? What decade?
They began to climb. What do they call this? Baby boom time?
Yeah, baby boomers.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
They began to climb along in that era.
I see. So you feel that teaching held up all your dreams and more?
And more. If I were young, and I'd like to go back.
You'd like to go back?
Yes.
Is that right?
And there's not anything that I would do different.
Nothing you'd do different. That's.
I'd be maybe I'd go back with the ability to do what I did.
Right.
Because I never shook a child, and I, as I said, at this one, I didn't have any trouble with that. And I always gave help to those who needed it. I always prepared a lesson plan, and I followed that lesson plan, and I expected them to follow it. Mm-hmm. And I planned in accordance with what I thought they could do.
How long did you teach at Newman May?
Altogether, first around 5 years, then I went to Evansville. Then when I came back, I taught 7 years, but I had also taught 2 years at Troy Township, it was mm-hmm. called then.
What was your favorite grade?
Third.
Third? How come?
I just liked the third grade.
Just like third grade.
But I taught the first grade, the first mm-hmm. out at Hoosier High.
Yeah. People always ask me what grade I want to teach in.
What are you doing?
Well, without knowing, I think fourth, because I like to be challenged, and I think fourth grade would be challenging for me as far as what they're doing educational-wise. But then I have a best friend that's a teacher, and she thought that way too, and she found out she likes the little kids better. So I think that you really change your mind after you get into the schools.
Well, there's a change in your fourth grade. You're right about that. And I guess there's also a challenge in the third.
Is that?
Yes, because you're adding more subjects.
Right, yeah.
And as you go along, you put more into them.
Yeah.
It's something I haven't told you. I taught 1 year at Franklin. And at Franklin, I had the children who couldn't learn.
Is that right?
The ones that you were trying to prepare them in a way. You didn't expect them to read too much. You didn't expect them to, and some of them, maybe they didn't know very much about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you tried to have something to do for them to do with their hands.
I see. Yeah, that's one thing they're getting really big in is this... It's called inclusion now. You know, those kids with Down syndrome and
yes.
handicaps and are being brought into the classroom. And that's really hard for teachers to adjust their classroom that way.
Yes. Well, we had a special room for that.
At that time, yeah.
And I know now some of them, one or two, are from... I think one or two of them from down here at Troy are working at the rest stop out of Vail.
Oh, the truck stop, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
I mean, some of them whom I know there's one
uh-huh.
that I have.
Is that right? I've only got one more question that I can think of that I forgot to ask you. Did you go to school from September to May like we do now back then in the 30s?
April.
Yeah, okay. April. And you started in September? Oh, I see. Is there anything?
We didn't start in August like we did.
Right. And you got Christmas. Did you get Christmas breaks? And
we had, later on, we had, but we did have breaks in the rural, those two rural schools.
Mm-hmm. If you were sick, who would they get to take your place?
Substitute. They had substitutes.
Did they?
They're asking now for substitutes.
Right.
So far, Del City and County.
Is there anything else that you would like to add or tell me that you can think of?
I believe where there are fewer students in the room, learn more. You see, they consolidated, they had all these children, some of them. Now, for instance, Rome closed for high schools in 35. That let me go upstairs then in the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
They sent the Thomas Ford in Rome then came down here to count. Well, then when Perry Central was built, superintendents no more. the superintendents in the different schools. But they took Calvin, the ones who'd gone from Drummondsport to Rome, took them by bus all the way around and up right around to Superior Central. They'd have to get up before daylight, sure enough, and get back that night. And made a bigger school. I think the children learn more where there's not as many.
Right. What do you think about the what they're doing in Tell City with combining the two grade schools to make one school?
I think they're doing it wrong.
Do you think they should keep them two separate schools?
I think so, because, now the reason I think that, they did away with Franklin and sent them the different ways. You see,
Franklin. Mm-hmm.
But in doing this, you get a larger classroom. I don't care if they pass the list grade or something else. They go from room to room. They may have math in this room and something else in another room. I think where one teacher has the room, she learns those children, and they learn more by having one teacher.
To personalize with.
To be more, they take more interest in them, and they know them better.
Right, feel more comfortable with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they have them only 1 year, but when they put them together all like that, they have to have passed math, passed it.
This concludes my interview with Bernice Landman. They're sandals, and they come in black and brown, and they either come with a strap around the back or without, and they're kind of like a thicker kind of leather. They have a thick kind of rubber heel. You can wear them with a dress, or they're real cute with the shorts, too, but they're mostly, I'd say they're a little more on the casual side, but you can wear them with dresses, they say, too. Yep. Yep. That's 44, and then so Vicky and I got for like, what, 33? What is it? They don't have Vicky's size, so Pat's going to hold it. And they're like, well, let's find our manager first to see if she can, you know, so you can still get them at buy one, get one half price when the second pair comes in. Well, the manager was Pat. And I had talked to Pat already. And anyways, when she looked at me, she said, no way. She said, give that ticket, I'll sign it. So she signed it because they had to have her signature and everything. She said, of course we can do that. I said, well, Pat, I have a dilemma, and I'll try and tell her, do I get the ones with the straps or without? Do I get the ones with that are brown or black? What do I do? And she's like, oh, God. But I don't know. I got the black ones, but I'm thinking maybe I have more things that would go with brown. I don't know. I guess I could probably switch those if I needed to. Now, see. The reason that I got the black ones is because I have a pair of black ones with the thick heels, you know, and I have a pair of brown, and then I also have a pair of brown that have the strap around the foot that are more casual. So I have two pairs of brown and one pair of black, so I thought, well, I'll give you a pair of really casual black ones. So I might have you look at them. Mom, they have so much stuff. Really, I mean, they have a good. They say.
don't do this half on the tip as you do on taping. Like she's called that Michelle girl. Not Michelle, but I mean, you don't have to, oh, I don't know what her name is, but anyway, she was, you know, about a 5'8", so that's what she's doing, and it's costing her $108 a month. Well, yeah, of course, but I'm not mad at her, you know. I knew that she'd probably go back on it, but I just don't want to see her come back out. I don't know if she's going to use it for anything. She doesn't have to use the hotel.
We can show you how to do that.
Don't forget the camera, dad's belt, guest watch, and receipt, $25 check, and sunglasses. CDs. Pills. Cologne. Toothbrush, hairbrush, hat, checkbook.
Information, you still have any kind of a hotel. got a volunteer that should be part of it. That stuff that you should have learned in the composition plan.
This is the way I document it, John.
Yeah, you just don't have quite all the information, and it's not any kind of assignment you'll go to there that teach you exactly how to do it. And then the Lotus material and the internet material.
I wrote down the contact. Archie and Gopher and FTP.
So that was percent
delay. Yeah, that's about it.
Well, good luck. It should be just
real straightforward. Yeah, it's just, I thought it might be a little different. I don't know what I'm trying to do. All right, thanks.